is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, it's great to be with you, friends, here at Bible Home Church. And this program, as you know, goes around the nation. And it's great to also get your letters in here to the ministry. We appreciate your love gifts. That's how we're able to stay on the radio. Well, I'd like to read a few letters that we got in the mail here. This is from the Klang family in Delray Beach, Florida. Dear Tex, the letter reads, we listen to your program every Sunday night. You and the Bible Home Church Ministry are one of the last bastions in this country against the evildoers and tyrants who are trying to stifle the Word of God. Unfortunately, almost all of the mainstream and lukewarm churches and ministers just like to ride the center rail and don't make any waves. Well, you keep up the good work and don't give up. We're on the side of the all-powerful God, and we will not and cannot be defeated. God bless you and yours. And that's signed in Christian Love, John, Jane, and Stacy Klang. And they enclosed a $20 love gift with the letter. Well, I am on your side and God's side both in this letter, and I'm not going to give up. And you're right. We just don't ride that center rail at all. I stay away from that center portion myself. Some people call me an extremist, and that's okay. I don't mind that. Here's another letter from Brother George and Virginia Reed out of Cold Spring, Minnesota. Dear Tex, I enclose a check for $30 to further the efforts of Bible Home Church. My family and I have been using the Bible Home Church concept now since the early 1970s when we left the organized church we belonged to because it no longer represented our views and the Bible. They go on to talk about, they said, we are very much pleased that you have made this one of your tasks to build the home church idea across our land. May God bless you for your efforts and always keep you in His loving care. We listen to you every Sunday evening, George and Virginia Reed. Well, George, thank you very much. I hope you're listening to this right now, and I pray you'll be getting a blessing from tonight's message. Here's a good letter from, oh my, it's William. Oh, I'm not going to give you his last name. It's too difficult to pronounce. William, now don't get mad at me, man. But some names are that away. Dear Christian friend and brother in the Lord, thank you for telling me about the Bible Home Church. I would very much like to be part of this ministry. I have faith, hope, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, Lord, and Redeemer. And this brother also gave a very generous love gift to the ministry in a check. And Brother William, we're delighted to have you as a member of the church. And friends, how can you become a member or an associate of Bible Home Church? First of all, if you're a member of another church somewhere, we're not trying to steal you from your church. And we realize that it would be better if you could assemble with local Christians in a King James Bible believing church. We understand that. And I hope you can find a good church that truly believes, not just prefers the King James, but believes it is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. If you can find such a church and they're good Christian people, will you stick right there? You can still join us as an associate, and we love to be associated with you. And you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says you can't associate with other churches or other Christians, so I don't see any problem there. Love to have you in as an associate member of our church. Just write us and tell us, I'd like to be an associate member. We'll put you on our rolls here. Now, if you don't have a local home church, you know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling, but it doesn't have to, doesn't say you can't be a member of a church by radio. Of course you can. Through the miracle of technology, you can be with us just as we are with you. You know, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst thereof. I believe when two or three of us, and there are many more than that, I guarantee you, we're all together by virtue of this radio station. And we all are in agreement that Jesus is our Lord and Savior and our Redeemer. And by that profession of faith, you can join this church. Now, if you don't believe in Jesus, I'm sorry, but you just cannot be a member. You can still listen to the program, and I pray that you will become a believer. But if you want to join this church, yes, you can do so. Now, we're not telling you to join because we want your money. We're not going to send the Lone Ranger law enforcement to your home to get your tithes and offerings. You know, it's all voluntary. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do, if you want to help us here with Bible Home Church. We appreciate that. And we're gonna thank you from the bottom of our heart. But if you're not led by the Lord to give, then don't give. I can only tell you this. We will use your support for the cause of Christ. I encourage people to meet in their homes. You know, you can listen to this radio program, get together with some friends, listen to Bible Home Church, and then afterwards have a discussion group. Have a Bible study. We'll always give you the Bible verses. Write them down. Write down the Bible verses and the themes, the subject matter. Make you some notes. Then get together with your Christian friends and sit down and have your own Bible Home Church right there in your own community. And if you disagree with something that I've taught here on the radio, well, write me a hot, blistering letter and tell me. I like to hear from you. And I don't get very many that are hot and blistering, I'll admit. You know, I always like to say that if I don't get at least a couple a week that just blast me, I must not be doing things for the Lord. I must have backslid and got to get back on target. So I always have a few, you know, witches and atheists and Satanists and just plain old liberals that write me in mean letters. And sometimes they'll say, Mr. Mars, why, you're just a jerk. And they'll say all kind of things to me. And, you know, I just love it. I write them back and I just tell them, keep listening. Love to have you listening to our program. It's a thrill to have you. I'm excited that you're listening. And you just keep calling me a jerk, calling me a blockhead, saying that all people that really believe in Jesus and the Bible, we're all nuts. And that's okay. At least you're listening. You're being drawn to the program. I can't tell you how many people have written us and said, you know, I didn't believe a word you said, but I listened anyway. I was just fascinated. Something just drew me to the Bible Home Church. And I said, these people are probably nuts, but I'll listen to them. They're very interesting. Better than sitting at home doing nothing. And you know, after a while, it began to make sense to them. I think that's what the Bible does. You start reading the Bible, after a while, you get convinced. And it reminds me in the Bible there where Paul preached to King Agrippa. And afterward, Paul, the king said, I'll hear from you again later on this. I'm almost persuaded. I'll bet you he was worried. He was convicted is what it was. He saw the old hellfire opening up for him. And he said, wow, I want to know more about this. Bible doesn't really tell us whether he found out more about Christ or became a believer. I wonder about that. Have you ever thought about that? Well, anyway, that's another sermon for another time, I suppose. Well, we have some other letters, but I've run out of time here because we always have to have some beautiful music for you. And that's what we're going to have now. We're going to have a beautiful song for you, and then we're going to come back. And today will be, I believe it's part two of our series. I lose the number sometime. I am getting old. You know what? One to keep saying that, but I don't believe her. Today we have part two of our series, The Bible. Yes, the Bible as science and history. Now, if you're a science teacher, a history teacher, college or high school level perhaps, oh my, you're going to be excited about this. The Bible as science and history. And I'll be right back with part two of that message after this song.
Give up and let Jesus. Take over our guilt. And let Jesus take over.
Take over.
Let him take over.
You get into this stuff and you can get pretty excited about what God tells medicine and science today. For example, biotechnology. It proves God. They said, no way there could be a God. Evolution created man. There's no such thing as a creator. Oh yeah? But now, through biotech means, man has literally created artificial life in the laboratory. And I've talked to scientists and they say, you know, this causes me now to believe in God. I say, why? They say, well, if man can create us with our limited intelligence, can create artificial life in the laboratory from chemicals, then now we know God could do such a thing. Create complex forms of life. Now we've been able to clone animals, create new kinds of plants. But remember, my friends, the original materials, the original intelligence was God's. So we're just sort of using secondary sources for our building blocks. Are we not? One scientist named Freeman Dyson actually wrote a book in which he said someday there will be living spaceships. Spaceships in space. Think of Star Trek type vessels in space. But they won't be metal like we see in the movies today, the Star Wars and all that. They'll be living creatures and we will live inside of them. He said, I can see a time when a giant butterfly will fly off into space, having been created, this butterfly, as a spaceship. And it will be a living creature, but will be programmed to fly off into space. And men will be inside it. Hey, maybe they never read, or maybe they did. Can you create a living spaceship through biotechnology? Wow. Of course, they're creating DNA, biological chips, biochips to be implanted in human beings to do certain functions. I go back to Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel. He had a vision and he saw some living beast. Some people say that was a UFO, but look at it. He said it was alive and it had wheels within wheels. in Ezekiel. Now, I've studied computer architecture, and let me tell you something. I've written 5 books on robots and robotics myself. See, this is my love of my life before I gave my heart and body and soul to God. I was into high tech. That's what I did for a living. I loved high technology. In the Air Force, I loved teaching the kids all about Star Wars systems and intermediate range missiles and ICBMs and MIRV missiles and everything I could, you know, get my hands on scientific. Oh, I love teaching all the young officer candidates those things, about smart precision guided munitions and all that. But it wasn't until I really studied computer architecture that I found out that God has to be true. Of course, I already knew that from reading the Bible, but it was wonderful to read computer books. I was at a technical bookstore one time, and there was a book that caught my eye. It said, Are Robots Alive? Well, I was very interested in robotics, writing books on robotics. In fact, I authored the very first book ever written about personal robots. You know, having your own personal robot, give it a name, can live with you at home. I wrote the book on it. The Personal Robot Book by Tex Mars. It was a main selection of the Electronics Book Club and the Computer Book Club. It's published by McGraw-Hill's Tab Books. And I was very fascinated by this book title, Are Robots Alive? Well, the author said, yes, they are alive, in his opinion. And he gave reasons why. You know, with artificial intelligence, we have thinking computers. Now we have robots today. They can talk, they can walk, they can feel, they can sense, they can smell, they can hear, they can see. Computers get viruses. The internet, electronic systems, including wireless now means, now on the internet, connect remote places together, interconnected. We could be one giant mind like these movies that have the Borg. We're all connected to one giant mind. A wireless internet of the brain. Is this on the way? Well, it makes you think of God. If they can literally begin, and by the way, scientists at the University of Michigan have discovered a way, they say, they can read a person's thoughts. Oh, you can't hide much now. Now they have these x-ray devices they're beginning to put in airports that can use x-rays to see under your clothes. There's going to be a lot of sexual perverts buying those things, aren't they? The military actually has glasses, goggles now. They see. They're x-ray, like the old Dick Tracy, x-ray vision. Well, think about that. Didn't God interconnect all of mankind? He knows our thoughts. He knows our innermost beliefs and feelings and ideas. He knows, Jesus said, he knew what was in the heart of all men. That's in the Gospel of John. Isn't that amazing? He knows what is in the heart of all men. How can he do that? What a scientist. Now, we're developing the internet now. We're developing all of this new technology to have the Bohr, one giant mind. Did you know that now NASA is working on robots that can replicate robots? In other words, robots that can build robots. So man builds a thinking, talking, walking, feeling, smelling, hearing, seeing robot. And that robot goes out and builds other robots. They're doing it, by the way, at the very base of Mount Fuji in Japan. They have a factory there, and they have robots. And what are they making? Other robots. Did you know that NASA is working on a plan that they will send a spaceship to other planets? And that spaceship will land, and off of it will come a little robot. And that robot will actually take the materials found there on that planet. The materials found on that planet to make other robots. They could create a whole race of robots somewhere on some other planet. Robots from Earth that are made by men. Well, you know, it leads to a lot of heady thinking by men. Hey, we're like gods, doesn't it? And you know, isn't that what Satan said in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve? Eat of this forbidden fruit, and ye shall be as gods. And doesn't it say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that in the last days, how will the Antichrist deceive the people? What will be this strong delusion? It will be this. Men will believe that they are as gods. That was the lie. They will believe the lie, it says in 2 Thessalonians 2. And that's the lie of the Garden of Eden. You'll be like a god. You'll be a god. That's what the New Age teaches. You know, I was recently reading a book. It says the moon was created possibly through some kind of an asteroid or a comet hitting the earth. And a piece of the earth was knocked off into space and became the moon. Then I began to read the book of Genesis, the fourth day of creation. The moon was created and the sun to have light by day and light by night. Is that what God did? Did he create a cosmic collision? Maybe so. Maybe the astronomers are beginning to come around. Maybe they're proving Genesis there. Isn't it astonishing? All of these scientific things. Wow. Listen to this. Did you know that Adam and Eve have been found? A lot of people laugh. Oh, now that's really a myth. Oh, that's really a legend. Oh, yeah. Well, get this, my friends. A lot of people believe that the biblical account of creation in Genesis could not possibly be true. There couldn't have been just one man and one woman, and from them came every human being, now up to 6 billion or more on earth. They couldn't have been our common primary ancestors. Oh, no. Well, now, get this now. Just in our lifetime, the British scientists Watson and Crick came up with DNA. And now scientists have found that in the DNA of each cell of a person, and by the way, that DNA is passed on to the next generation and the next generation. That DNA, your DNA, will be passed on to your kids and then their kids and so forth. Now, everybody has this DNA combination that's specific to them. Sort of the plan. See, it's the plan of God. He planned for creation. This is how he did it, through this mathematical DNA combination of chemicals. The individual at the instant of conception gets half of his DNA from his father's sperm, half from the mother's ova. But listen, in addition, there is a small amount of DNA contained in what is called the mitochondria. It's like a power plant of a cell located just outside the nucleus of the cell. Now, this particular bit of DNA is involved in the metabolism of storage of food, scientists say. It's passed on to succeeding generations only by the mother. Now, get this, my friends. All right? Now, two biochemists at Berkeley, University of California at Berkeley, Vincent Sarek and Alan Wilson, decided to search for clues. And by the way, this is all chronicled in Robert Fade's wonderful book, The Scientific Approach to Biblical Mysteries. They decided to search for clues concerning mankind's origin by examining changes in this mitochondrial DNA among the races of man distributed on the major continents of the world. They believe that they could pinpoint just where man began on Earth.
You've been listening to Bible Home Church and Pastor Tex Mars. We hope this program has been a blessing to you, and we invite you to tune in next week as Pastor Tex Mars continues his fascinating series, The Bible as Science and History.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.